Today, I want to continue on in the book of Ephesians. I've been going through Ephesians, picked Ephesians as a book to go through, and I think that I got to the end of chapter 1 last time. So I'll just kind of do a quick overview of the last little bit where we were, and then we'll pick it up in chapter 2 and just continue right on through. So Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to the Ephesians in Ephesus, and at the end of chapter 1, we kind of learned that we are God's inheritance. You know, Christ has an inheritance in us. He came down to earth and did what He did, and He has an inheritance in us as we are sealed with His Spirit, and we have that same Spirit that He had in Himself as we have that in ourselves. Not only is that a seal of our inheritance and our reward when we go on after we die, but that's also His inheritance in us in this world, because He came down and did what He did, and now He has a continuing inheritance in us as that Spirit that was in Him continues to live on through us. So we find that as He says at the end of chapter 1, He has put all things in subjection under His feet, and He gave Him as head, Him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So now, let's continue on into chapter 2, and Paul's going to go on to talk about us a little bit. He says, in chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Paul goes on to explain a little bit about us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We all on our own did not come to the correct way to live our lives. We did not have the correct Spirit dwelling in us. He says, we all formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We understand that to be the devil, the bad spirit, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. We are all disobedient type people. And by nature, wrathful, angry, disobedient, unhappy, ungrateful. You go there. That's where our spirits went. That's what we have living in us. And we all formerly walked that way. And what causes that is the lusts of our flesh. The flesh has its lusts. Our body has its appetite. We desire the things in this world. We want the pride. We want to drive the fanciest car. We want to wear the nicest clothes. We want to whatever it might be that people have. And it causes them to go in the wrong spot. And it says we indulge the desires of our flesh and the desires of our minds. We did things that we wouldn't be proud of to talk about. And we probably had desires in our minds that we wouldn't want to talk about either. Everybody did that to one degree or another. It says, but God, being rich in mercy. God, on the other hand, was not like that. God, of course, was pure. And God was good. And God is also rich in mercy. He's a very merciful God. So when He saw us in that condition, as kind of rebellious, wrathful, disobedient people, He didn't choose to hammer us. You know, He didn't choose to destroy us and wipe us out. What He did was He chose to send His Son. He chose to send His Son as an example for us. Dave kind of brought it out a little bit earlier about what His Son went through on the cross. While going through that, and while being reviled like that, He did not revile in return. While doing that, He forgave those people that were doing that to Him. That's a powerful example. God did that. God being rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I like the way the Rotherhams translate that. By favor you have been saved. God, out of His own good nature, did that for us. Not that we had done anything to deserve that. God did that for us. He sent His Son for us. He provided a way for us to escape out of that. Because that's who He is, and that's what He wanted to do. Because He could have done whatever He wanted. He chose that. He said, God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with us, Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. So ever since Jesus, in all these ages that it's been since Jesus, God has been continuing to show to every generation of people, that's there for you to see, the riches of His favor. Him being like that, and Him, when you did wrong and you did something stupid, He said, oh, that's okay. That's graciousness. That's that favor. If my wife does something dumb and I nail her for it, you know, that's not very gracious. But if she does something dumb and I'm like, oh, don't worry about that. That's no big deal. I'm being gracious. God was gracious towards us. There's a lot of value there in that. It's super valuable for us with God. And the riches of His grace was His kindness towards us. That when we were disobedient like that, He chose to be kind towards us. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We have been saved by God's favor. We've been saved by God's favor because we believe in Him. That's the faith part. Faith is your beliefs. You believe something, you have that belief, you have that faith. So when it says, by faith you have been saved, you're not believing whatever. The things that God has taught and shown and communicated to us to believe about Him and who He is, these are the things that we believe. That is our faith. When we have those beliefs, when we have that faith, that affects the way we live our lives. If I believe that God is merciful and kind, and that God will take to heaven to live with Him one who is merciful and kind, and I believe that, I will be merciful and kind. If I believe God is out here to hammer the sinner and condemn the ungodly and burn them all in hell, you know, which there is another part of God that you can push Him far enough where He will get mad. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You do not want to be so provoking, so continually provoking, so perverted and decrepit that you invoke God's wrath. You don't want to do that. You want to understand that God is merciful and kind, and you believe that about Him, you will be like that. You will live like that in your own life. So you see that before He sent Jesus, and before He gave us the example of Jesus, before we had that example, could we believe in that? We couldn't. So until God did that and gave us that example and showed us that way and rose Him from the dead, Him who humbled Himself, until He was risen from the dead, how did you know that humbling yourself would get you risen from the dead in eternal life? You didn't. But when God did that through Jesus, now you know that. Now you can believe that. Now you can have that faith. Having that faith within yourself is what will cause you to have that Spirit within yourself, His Spirit, because you believe Him. When you have that, now you have life within yourself. Now you're sealed. Now you can go to heaven to be with Him. So you are saved through His favor, through His act of kindness by sending His Son, and through your belief in that, you are saved. He says it's not as a result of works. It used to be a result of works. It used to be in the temple system, it was based on law. So, if you were circumcised and you kept that rule, and you went to the temple and offered the particular sacrifices that were listed for you to keep, and you kept that rule, and you kept all the other various and sundry laws and kept those rules, then you were righteous. And you went to heaven based on the fact that you had done those works. That's not like that anymore. Now we are living under a system of faith. Now we are living under a system where, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe that it's your best off thing to do when someone slaps you on the right cheek to turn to him the other also? Do you believe these things? Knowing what we know about belief, do you practice these things? If you do not practice them, do you believe them? Do you know who God is, who He has communicated to Himself? We get into more of this, I guess, later in the book as Paul starts to lay out some teaching. Do we then believe it? Do we then incorporate it into our lives? It's not on a system of works. Because if it's a system of works, if it's because I did this, if it's because I went to church every Sunday, I can boast about that. I can say, I've been to church every Sunday. That's why I'm righteous. If it's because we did a set of things, we're born a certain person, whatever, you can take pride in that. You cannot take pride in the fact that God was kind to you. How do you take pride in that? It says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what we are. God did all that to create a people who would go out then and do good works, kind of like Jesus did. That's His goal, to create a good people. He continues on in verse number 11. He tells us, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, that would be us. There were the Jews and there were the Gentiles. We would be the Gentiles. So remember that us, the Gentiles in the flesh, the so-called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at one time, at that time, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom a whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. He says that we, the Gentiles, all of us in this room, anybody who isn't a Jew, at one time was excluded. When God spoke to Moses and He laid forth a law, that law was for the Jews. You had to be a Jew. And further than that, you couldn't be a priest without being a Levite. And further than that, you couldn't really be one of the higher priests without being a son of Aaron. So, if you weren't a certain person, you were kind of excluded from that. Like, it was based on law. You got it because of who you were born into, and then the things you did. Where did that leave everyone? That left everyone kind of without hope, without God. But it's different with Christ Jesus. Because now in Christ Jesus, those of us who were formerly far off, the nations, the not Jews, who didn't have God in His communication to us, we were far away. We didn't have God. But now we have been brought near. Because now, by the blood of Christ, that message is for everyone. He goes on to clarify that in verse 18, for he says, for we both have our access in one Spirit to Him. Through the same Spirit, We have access to that same Spirit that the Jews now have access to. That same Spirit that was in Jesus, anyone can have. And anyone can have access to God the Father. Not just the Jew. Not just the son of Aaron. Now, you can do all that. You can have the same access as everyone else. That's important because that wasn't always that way. And this was more important probably to them in times gone by to understand that. That it now was this way. He says, He Himself is our peace. He made both groups into one. He's talking about the group of the Jews and the group of the non-Jews. This was written at a time when the group of the Jews was still kind of, well, they still are. You know, they view themselves as they are God's people themselves. The Gentiles are not God's people. He's trying to communicate. God took that away. He says, He did that by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. All that law has been done away with. Because now it's not a system of law, it's a system of faith. It's a system of if you believe it. It's a system of if you believe it, you're going to have that Spirit. It's a system of whether or not you have a Spirit such that you can access God. He says, He might reconcile both those groups in one body to God by the cross, having put to death that whole law of commandments. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. So then, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints. It's good news for us. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom a whole building... Now he's describing Christians as a group. Christians as a group are a whole building. They're being fitted together and growing into a holy temple to the Lord. And we are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. See, that's the reiterating goal here. We've been built for good works. We've been built to be a dwelling place for God's Spirit. Then he continues on in chapter 3. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Paul goes on to kind of establish himself. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one that carried the message to the Gentiles. He was given this message by a revelation from God. And the stewardship was given to him to proclaim this to all the Gentiles. And that's what he's doing here. He's letting you know that you can understand he has some insight into this. In past ages, it wasn't really known, but now it is. He says, "To me," in verse 8, "to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart in my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." So, Paul's goal in life, what he was given by God to do, was to bring to light how this mystery worked, how this plan of God worked, which had been hidden away for all these ages, in order that now it might be made known. And that was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God carried out through Jesus Christ. And then he kind of ends up by saying, "in whom we have confident access through faith in Him." Once again, it's through faith in Him. It's through your belief in Jesus that you are able to have confident access before God. When you have the correct belief in Jesus, you will be confident before God. then he ends up and he said, ask them to not faint in the tribulations which he's enduring. Because at that time, Paul was enduring a lot of tribulations. And he's writing this letter to them. He's asking them not to faint and lose heart. It's actually for their glory that he was going through all this. So that's where I'm going to leave off today.